You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The world is constantly changing and transforming. Cut through some of the noise with What's New with Wired, a podcast that goes in depth on the latest news and technology and culture. Their award-winning journalism will help you make sense of what's happening in the world. Listen to What's New with Wired wherever you get your podcasts. That's What's New with Wired wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Kick-Ass Politics. I'm Ben Mathis. Hey folks, Ben Mathis here with just a quick announcement. If you enjoy this episode, I hope you'll subscribe to Kick-Ass Politics on iTunes and support the podcast by donating to our annual fundraising drive at gofundme.com/kickasspolitics or click on the donate button on our website at kickasspolitics.com. Thanks for listening, and now enjoy the show.
I declare, I'm not going to pay for that fucking wall. He should pay for it. He's got the money.
The former president of Mexico, Vicente Fox, he said today, and I'm quoting him, he said, I'm not going to pay for that, quote, effing wall. How are you going to make them pay for the wall?
I will, and the wall just got 10 feet taller, believe me.
That was former Mexican President Vicente Fox and presumptive GOP nominee Donald Trump trading barbs over Trump's proposed border wall. More recently, the war of words seemed to be de-escalating when President Fox apologized to Trump in an interview that aired on Breitbart.com last Wednesday. And in an unusual display of magnanimity, Donald Trump actually accepted his apology. But that's not what you're going to get in my interview with Vicente Fox today. No apologies, no conciliatory gestures. In fact, this is probably Vicente Fox's frankest and most unfiltered interview to date about the man he calls a false prophet. And it was recorded last Tuesday, just one day before his kinder, gentler Breitbart interview aired. But before we get to that, I'll give you a little background on my guest today. Vicente Fox began his career as a delivery truck driver for Coca-Cola's operations in Mexico, eventually working his way all the way up to president of Coca-Cola Mexico. After retiring from Coke, Vicente Fox was elected to represent the 3rd District in León, Guanajuato, in Mexico's legislature. And just a couple years later, he was elected governor of Guanajuato. In 2000, Vicente Fox was elected president of Mexico in an historic election that made him the first president elected from an opposition party since 1910, and the first one in 71 years to defeat Mexico's Institutional Revolutionary Party. Under his leadership from 2000 to 2006, the country enjoyed a period of fundamental economic strength and stability. Following his presidency, Vicente Fox founded the Centro Fox, the first U.S.-style presidential library, museum, and center for the advancement of democracy. Today, Vicente Fox will explain why free trade and immigration are essential to the economic prosperity of Mexico and America, and why this symbiotic relationship is not a zero-sum game with winners and losers, as some, Donald Trump, would lead you to believe. He'll discuss his ideas to end the drug cartel wars and create more economic opportunity within Mexico's borders. He'll suggest a running mate for Hillary Clinton. He'll point to disturbing similarities between Donald Trump and Latin American dictators like Hugo Chavez and Juan Perón. He'll lay out why Trump's plan to take away Mexico's remittances amounts to mutually assured destruction. And he'll respond to Trump's threat that wall just got a lot higher. And I'll warn you, if you're sensitive to strong language, this might not be the episode for you. Because as you may have surmised, Vicente Fox feels very, very passionate about this subject. There'll be no sugarcoating today, and no punches will be pulled when former Mexican President Vicente Fox unloads on Trump, trade, and that effing wall. Coming up in just a moment.
To Washington, it's time for Kick-Ass Politics. And now here's your host, Ben Mathis.
Today I'm joined by former Mexican President Vicente Fox, who was president from 2000 to 2007. El Presidente, thank you for joining me on the show.
Mucho gusto, amigo. I am very pleased to be here with you on this new way of broadcasting this media that is really reaching people, reaching youth. So congratulations for that, and we need you in Mexico.
Well, you can probably get podcasts in Mexico. Just go on your iPhone. I think you can download them there.
So, I will. As of now, I will start doing that.
We got to get podcasts popularized in Mexico. Well, you've been in the news lately, so I'm thrilled to have you on. Before we get into too much politics, you began in life working for Coca-Cola, for an American company. You started out at the bottom working as, a truck driver, a delivery man, and you worked your way all the way up to president of Coca-Cola Mexico. That's the kind of rags-to-riches story that we like to hear here in America. Why don't we hear more stories of upward mobility and opportunity like yours coming out of Mexico?
Well, it happens. It happens. We, unfortunately, were in hands of dictators and authoritarian governments all throughout the 20th century. And I mean all of Latin America. And, you know, that prevented us to build up citizenship. That prevented us from living by democracy, and more importantly, it prevented us from innovation, entrepreneurship, personal initiative. We were always waiting for the dictator or the authoritarian government to solve our problems. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say, wake up, America, the proposals of this false prophet, because what we see today in the United States is incredible. It's what we saw in Latin America throughout the 20th century.
You're referring to Donald Trump?
And to Bernie as well. Telling people that they're going to solve all the problems, that they're going to get jobs for them, that they're going to make income. And all of that is what takes you to that wrong thinking of people. We should promote open market. We should promote competitiveness. We should promote trade. But we should help those that are behind with education. Education is the only way you can change a generation. Through that is the only way to do it. So it's not telling the people, I'm going to protect your job, I'm going to get you a job. It's, I'm going to prepare you to find your job. I'm going to give you education so that you can compete in the new economy, because the manufacturing economy is almost going over. It is even happening in Mexico. What we had in manufacturing and textiles, it moved down south. So we had to replace that by bringing in automobile industry, bringing in technology and information technologies and so on and on.
What country did those textile jobs move to?
Central America, most of them to Salvador. You remember United States in North Carolina and whatever was this industry, it was lost. They had to close because it could not compete. That came down to Mexico. And this is life. Life changes the patterns of the economy. First, you start agriculture, farming, and then you see that there's not enough jobs there. Manufacturing comes in, and then high-tech manufacturing in today's economy. I wonder why those people that Trump says that they are unemployed in Detroit and in that part of the country. Mm-hmm. Why didn't they go to a community college? Why didn't they go internet and online to get new knowledge so that they could move to Boston, so that they could move right. to Seattle, so that they could move to Silicon Valley? Everybody can do that. You don't sit in your house, in your coach there to see TV and drink beer and right. ask Donald Trump to give you a job.
Right. Well, some people do.
Yeah, I know. And that's the problem on this election. That's the problem. Yeah. That's why I say he's a false prophet.
Yeah.
These are smart guys that take advantage yeah. of that. The right. Hugo Chavez's, the Evo Morales's, mm-hmm. the so many populists and demagogues that we had in Latin America, the Perons, Evita, right. the Kirchners today, that destroy economies. But people believe in him because they tell them, look, I'm going to get you the job. I'm yeah. going to increase your income. I'm going to solve your problems. And Trump is crazy. He cannot solve all the problems of all these people. He would be, I hope not, but if yeah. he sits in that chair, he will learn that it's not as easy as yeah. you say, I can negotiate, I can deal. He's crazy.
Well, you would know because, like him, you're a businessman, a very successful businessman who then decided to run for office.
Which, by the way, is another big challenge. It's a totally different culture to run a business than yeah. to run a nation.
Yeah.
And this guy is not prepared, not even to run businesses. He took to bankruptcy four of his businesses. But even if he was, still the political game, government responsibility is totally different game. And he's not prepared yeah. for that. And so people should wake up. People should be attentive to this false prophet promises. I think, for instance, Hillary, she's got so much more structure, so much yeah. more experience in government, in politics. She's been around with different positions in government, and she has the best husband that you can get as a coach, as an yeah. advisor for this. I mean, Bill was a champion, and I think that Democrats should stay in power because, of course, Hillary should be the Iron Lady. I see her comb her hair just like Margaret Thatcher, so that is the Iron Woman to show that she is strong, that the other guy is a yeah. fake. And number two, she should be the mother of all those needy in the United States, of all those that don't have the opportunity. A care and tender, loving mother. So she should show both aspects. Mm-hmm. Maybe Hillary should think about to get on his team, to get on board Bernie, because he appealed okay. to kids. He appealed to right. the young population. Maybe they would make a great yeah. couple.
Yeah, yeah. Well, maybe they'd make a great romantic couple. I don't know. Can you picture that? Well, I'm curious then, you were talking about various Latin American dictators that we've seen, old ones and more recent ones like Hugo Chavez. Do you think that that's an apt comparison to compare Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders to
it is.
Dictators?
It is. The
you
same
see a lot of similarities.
False promises. Mm-hmm. Look at this, for instance. They say Wall Street doesn't work. Let's get rid yeah. of Wall Street. Well, it's pure ignorance. Wall Street is the axle of the economic model, powerful economic model of the United States. And yeah. redistributes income. What these guys don't know is that 60 million American families are shareholders. Coming right. shareholders, stock coming from Wall Street. It's yeah. it's a great way of mobilizing the economy. So to me, it's stupid just going against Wall Street and criticizing anybody that is around. Yeah. It's the best tool to really distribute income, to really make everybody to be a owner and not just a job, a worker.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you get rid of Wall Street, you destroy America.
Absolutely.
It's the engine that
and
drives
the world,
the economy.
Because that's been a yeah. very virtuous weapon to mobilize the economy.
Well, in talking about in Mexico, upward mobility and opportunity, what yes. we were talking about a moment ago, one of the goals of your foundation, the Centro Fox, has been to help the underprivileged, help themselves using democratic free market principles. What are you doing there in that area? And what do you think are the keys to creating more prosperity and a larger middle class in Mexico?
Okay. I profoundly believe in leadership. And I profoundly believe that we all are born leaders. Everybody, every human being. We have that power within. We have that capacity to conquer, to do great things in our life. And this aspect is the one we teach at Centro Fox. We bring in about 70,000 poor kids from poor families, from indigenous communities to Centro Fox at no cost for them, to tell them you were not born to be poor. You were not born to be an albañil, a construction worker. You were not born to be a migrant. You were born to do great things in your life. And this is what we teach them, self-esteem and a life plan. And then rest is when you have that conviction, when you have that commitment, then passion comes along. And then you conquer whatever purpose that you have in life. And so we're very happy in that. Every year, we're convincing 70,000 kids or young persons in Mexico that they don't have to migrate. They don't have to come up north, that they can build their own opportunities. Oh, not sit down and wait for a job. You can create your own job. Startups, entrepreneurship is the way to go today.
Interesting. So the way you see it, that the future of Mexico will come from within Mexico. It won't be coming up as immigrants to America to get low-paying jobs.
No, not here. That. What we need is to live up to the commitment we had with NAFTA. Mm-hmm. We are North America. And when I say we are, it's Mexico, United States, and Canada. We created this powerful tool, this partnership that is working excellent. Mm-hmm. Let me tell you, different to Trump, to this, the people that is listening to me, maybe believing what he's saying. Mexico buys from United States, Mexico imports over $750 billion a year. Mm-hmm. This means what Mexico buys means at least 6% of all U.S. jobs. 10 million people in United States have a job, have income, because of what Mexico is buying from United States. So it's a win-win situation. Mm-hmm. To go to trade wars is a lose-lose situation. Look at Trump. He says, I'm going to do a war. I'm going to carry a war against Mexico and China because they have a super rabbit compared to us. Well, Trump should learn that Europe has a superávit of $600 billion over United States, that all of Latin America together has over $250 billion superávit, that all the East and China are also over $500 million. So what is he going to do? Carry a war with everybody out there? And what's going to happen with United States? He's going to die of asphyxia? How do you say
asphyxia? Asphyxiation.
Imagine enclosing yourself in four walls.
Yeah.
I mean, that's ceding the leadership to others in the world.
Yeah.
And China is eager, has hunger to be the leader in the world. And if United States, according to Trump's dogma, encloses itself in four walls, we will not have anymore United States leading the world.
Yeah, and China is willing to trade with anyone. And they don't care whether it's the dictator or whether it's someone who murders his own people or whatever.
They're willing to invest everywhere. Mm-hmm. They go and build bridges in Central America to get their board in the United Nations. They work intensely in Africa.
Yeah.
And now the leader is going to abandon by enclosing himself in four walls, and then leadership will be somewhere else. And we must question ourselves, and I ask people in the United States, question yourselves, because China is about to be the largest economy in the world. The shift is moving to the East. What does that mean for Western civilization values? What does that mean for our beliefs, the founding fathers' beliefs, that now China is going to be conducting, China is going to be the leader? And this is where Trump is taking us, because his sole interest is to do personal business, to get more greedy, to get more money, to put the Trump name everywhere in the world. He's so soberbio. I don't know how you say soberbio. I don't like him. I don't like him.
Yeah, I can. I think I can tell. Do you think that Trump is running just for himself and not for the not for America?
Absolutely, yes. Because he is not prepared to be president of the United States. It's not just I want to be president and run a campaign. You need to experience. You need to learn. You need to go to school. It's not the same thing running a country than running a business.
Well, you were a governor before you ran for president. You didn't just, you know, resign from Coca-Cola and say, I'm running
for
president.
Again, I started from the bottom. Yeah. As you said, in Coca-Cola, I started from the bottom.
Yeah.
In politics, when I decided to go to politics, I started right at the casilla, the ballot box where you vote.
Yeah.
I started there as a supervisor, checking the vote of people. Mm-hmm. And then I started, I became first a congressman for 3 years. And then I was governor of my state for 4 years. And then I ran for president. But I was not thinking like a businessman. I was thinking to serve my fellow citizens, to work for them, thinking on poverty, thinking on opportunities. This guy is ego, doesn't let him think about others. He just thinks about himself.
Yeah. We were talking about NAFTA, and many in the Trump Tea Party crowd blame NAFTA for all of our economic problems. Trump likes to say that we're, quote unquote, losing to Mexico, as if trade is some kind of zero-sum game where you can't have winners without having losers.
Yeah.
Do you look at Mexico's trade relationship with the U.S. and think, wow, we're really sticking it to America. We're beating them. We're winning.
I think it's a partnership deal. Yeah. It's NAFTA. NAFTA nourishes the competitiveness of each of the three economies of Mexico, United States, and Canada to those NAFTA corporations. Let me give you an example. Not long ago, 5 years, 6 years, Chrysler, Ford Motor Company, General Motors went broke, went broke with billions of U.S. dollars.
Yeah.
And
we bailed
taxpayers, taxpayers had to rescue these three corporations. But that was not the end of the story. These three corporations now became competitive, now are growing all around the world, now are doing business and creating jobs in the United States, in Canada, and in Mexico. That's a NAFTA corporation. United States cannot compete by itself against others. And if Trump says, let's enclose ourselves, let's build walls, and then impose heavy taxation to import. I mean, he's going to asphyxiate the U.S. economy. That's not the way to go.
Yeah. Well, he does. He said that. Yeah, he keeps saying he was going to make Mexico pay for the wall, as you know.
I'm not going to pay for that fucking wall, and please don't take out the fucking full world, please.
I mean, okay. Crazy. Don't bleep that, huh?
He for is emphasis. Crazy.
Yeah.
He says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take away from Mexicans remittances. That's robbery. That's a crime. That's stealing people. What about what he's not considering always that to every action, there is a reaction. Mm-hmm. What about if Mexico says, okay, you're going to control remittances of Mexicans to Mexico. Okay, we're going to control remittances of all U.S. global corporations in Mexico. And it's billions, literally billions of dollars that they transfer of profits to Mexico. Yeah. Or we're going to limit transferences to those almost 15 million U.S. Americans that travel to Mexico for leisure, that are tourists, that go to Cancun, they have to take money. We say, no, you cannot bring money. And it's crazy. All the ideas don't match.
Yeah, it sounds like it's what we in America call a slippery slope. Once he starts that, he's not thinking of what may come of that, backlash.
The reaction, yes.
Oh, yeah, it sounds like a very big reaction.
Even this words and messages of hate, what's going to happen in the Middle East? we're coming back to the era of the ugly American, which was the gringo was hated all around the world. Yeah. And this guy, pretty soon he got the title now.
Yeah.
He is the ugly American. He is the hated gringo. Because he's attacking all of us. He's offending all of us. Imagine, I mean, that could take us to a war, not to a trade war.
Oh,
it
you
could
think
take
so?
Us, oh, of course. I mean, I can tell you, in Mexico, we have a saying. We say, okay, we are chiquitos.
Yeah.
We're small, but we're picosos.
Yeah.
We're like the jalapeno. So don't play around
don't
with us.
That.
Don't play around with us. We can jump walls. We can swim rivers. And we can defend ourselves.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, El Chapo already said he was launching a war on Donald Trump, but then you guys arrested him again. So,
you know, that's
you got
another,
him before he
that's
could finish
another
the job.
Problem. Besides this mental wall that he's got in his head, the real wall should be put against crime, against drugs, because Mexico has a big problem. We're in between the mammoth drug consumption in the United States and those who produce the drug in the South. Very few people know that we don't consume drugs in Mexico significantly. We don't produce drugs except poor, low-quality marijuana on the Pacific Coast. The marijuana produced in California is much higher quality and bigger amount than what we produce in Mexico. So we must get out of this trap, and the day will come when a Mexican president will tell, if it's Trump to Trump, guys, you don't want drugs? You hold the drug in the border. Why should we do that for you? Because we're paying the price of blood, of homicides, of killings, the cost of this crazy war on drugs.
Right.
And this really because, and we should not accept that, to protect American youth of consuming drugs.
But you, of course, you realize, I assume, that if we were to hold drugs at the border, if we were to increase our security there to catch drug dealers and drug smugglers, that probably would also have an effect on immigration as well. Yeah, we say they're going to stop drugs, but then inevitably it would turn
nobody
into
wants
stopping
this
immigration.
Scenario. The scenario proposed by Trump is crazy.
Yeah.
It's a lose-lose situation.
Yeah.
And yes, what you're saying is right.
Yeah.
And but you don't have to choose that. I think there's an option to legalize drug consumption. I'm an activist in promoting legalization.
Really? Okay.
Oh, yes, promoting to pass from prohibition into regulation, which is
of
working
extremely. All drugs or some drugs?
I think about all drugs.
Really?
But you have to go step by step. You start with marijuana, like Washington State did, like Colorado State did, like now it's accepted for medical use all around the United States. Countries like Holland, like Portugal, like Uruguay, already legalized. And in Mexico, we're in the process of legalizing marijuana for the moment. And that will bring a real solution to the problems of criminals, cartels, violence.
Yeah. But really, doing it in Mexico doesn't really have that big of an impact because, like you said, it's the drugs that go through Mexico. It's in America that we really need to deal with this one way or another.
Yes, but at the very end, if we're walking towards legalization, we have to do it simultaneously because imagine Tijuana, San Diego. If in Mexico it's legal, all San Diego will come to Mexico to consume. And the opposite will happen if...
Interesting. But even if it's legal, would the cartels not still control that industry simply because they have a foothold in it? Like in the 20s in America, you saw all the rum runners the gangsters who eventually went legit and started Seagrams and various
legitimate
companies.
Yeah, when you legalized, the problem of violence was over.
Right.
The problem of gangs and that was over.
Okay.
The health problem subsisted. But this is the one very important step forward. To legalize the whole chain, This means consumption, production, transformation, agriculture, everything, the whole chain, so that you take away the money from the cartels and you put that money in hands of government. And government has to use that money to educate, to bring information to people, and to prevent consumption, because to consume drugs is bad, it's wrong. But I think it's a much better solution, the one moving out of prohibition and going into regulation. And this is what we've done with cigarettes. And look at least in Mexico, has the decrease in consumption has been incredible. Because you see on the pack that it harms your lungs and that you get cancer on your lungs, and so you better not do it. So that's prevention, that's education, that's information, and it's working on cigarettes, and it will work on drugs.
Well, we're going to take a quick break, and then I'll be back to talk more with former Mexican President Vicente Fox. Back in just a moment. Hey, folks. Do you like reading, but find it harder and harder to make time to curl up with a good book? Well, there's a solution. Give audiobooks a try. They're perfect for your commute to work, or working out at the gym, or relaxing in the bath, or anytime, really. And right now, you can take an audiobook for a spin with a special promotion just for our listeners from Audible.com. Just go to audibletrial.com/kickasspolitics to get a free 30-day trial and download any of Audible's 180,000 titles for free. That's audibletrial.com/kickasspolitics. Or click the sponsor link on our webpage to download the free audiobook of your choice. And if you like Kick-Ass Politics, then be a part of what I'm doing here and help us raise our production budget for 2016 by donating to our annual fundraising drive at GoFundMe.com/kickasspolitics, or click on the donate button on our website at kickasspolitics.com. Thanks for listening, and now back to the show. We're back, and today I'm talking with former Mexican President Vicente Fox. Donald Trump has portrayed it as, you're sending us all your drug dealers. And we know that there are, you know, drugs, but rapists and murderers, does that offend you when he
absolutely
paints Mexican immigrants that
and
way?
Let me tell you, I am half American. My grandfather was born here in Cincinnati, Ohio. And he migrated to Mexico without a penny in his pocket. And Mexico welcomed him, as all countries in the world welcome hundreds of thousands of Americans that migrate to work in China, to work in Africa, to work in Mexico, to work in Europe. Again, how can Trump say, I'm going to stop migration? Yeah. What's going to happen with U.S. citizens that want to go to Cancun, or that want to go and look for a job in Chile or somewhere
street,
else?
Huh?
It is. Yeah. This is a flat world. This world does not belong to the United States, and less so to Trump.
Yeah.
This world got gifted to all 8 billion people, to all of us. God gave us this world for all.
Has it surprised you that immigration has become such an issue in this election? Because your counterpart here in the U.S. was George W. Bush, who was very open-minded to immigration and rational in terms of how he treated immigration and trade. And more recently, immigration wasn't even on our radar as a hot button issue. Republicans were trying to stay away from that because we realized that there's much larger Latino community that are voting out there. And suddenly Trump made it an issue. Did it surprise you that it's become the central issue of this election, really?
No, it did not surprise me. Most in every election has happened the same. And so it's not a surprise to me, but it's a wrong positioning. Instead of building a wall, you know the cost of a wall, and you know that U.S. taxpayers are going to pay for that wall. We are not going to pay for that fucking wall. And which means that there are much better alternatives.
Yeah.
In my term, together with President Bush administration, together with Senator Kennedy and Senator McCain, we put it together, a bill, a proposal to Congress. And it's been sitting in Congress since 2001.
Yeah, forever. Yeah.
Yeah, forever. And that's the consequences of not processing that law, because we must use our intelligence. We must use our wisdom to solve a problem. When you have a problem, you analyze, and then you discuss, and then you come with a solution. The solution is sitting there. And it says what has to be done with those 11 million people that are undocumented in the United States, but that are being hired by people in the United States. They have a job. Yeah. It's not a documented job, but they have a job. Okay. Well, it has an answer for that bill. It has an answer for the families. It has an answer to the future. How are we going to handle migration? This nation, even against Trump, needs 500,000 new workers every year. Mm-hmm. The U.S. citizens don't want to take that job because the jobs are there and they don't take them. They'd rather sit on their TV, drink a beer, and demand from Trump to give them a job. The way to create jobs is education. If those people read a little bit, if those people, instead of watching the game in television, they go to open schools on internet, they could prepare themselves to be on the knowledge economy, to be working in Silicon Valley, to be working in whatever else. So it's education, what a person needs to build up its own opportunities, its own job, and its own income, is by educating yourself.
Are you having success with that message in Mexico as well, of education?
Fortunately, hunger for going to school is growing and growing in Mexico. Mm-hmm. Now people understand that if you don't have a good degree of education, you lose your jobs. There's not going to be jobs for you.
Yeah.
Anybody that in Mexico has 8 years or 9 years of education has a job. Mm-hmm. 100% employment. Those who do not have a job is because they don't have the preparation for it. So that's why I insist it's education. And here in the United States, there are still many, many people that are not prepared to take a job, especially the new jobs of the new economy. So what Trump should be proposing is, I'm going to prepare yourself. I'm going to put enough schools. I'm going to give you through TV, instead of the game, I'm going to give you education programs so that you prepare yourself, so that you can start your own business, so that you can compete in the labor market.
Mm-hmm. Well, Trump says that he's going to build a wall, but there's going to be, as he says, a great big beautiful door. So what do you say to that? I mean, if there was a wall, but there was a great big beautiful door, as he says, where immigrants can come legally, would that be acceptable to you?
Yes, I'm not for open borders. I'm for regulation. I am for having a framework so that the flow of migration is done with order. And that's exactly the bill that is in Congress. It shows all of that, who can come, who cannot. It talks about temporary guest worker programs like we had in the past. And it talks about how to solve the situation now. But yet, if by having jobs in Mexico, like we're having right now, not with U.S. only investment, it's investment coming from Japan, it's investment coming from China, it's investment coming from Europe to Mexico, because right now Mexico is the most competitive manufacturing place in the world, in the whole world. It's not that we're taking away jobs. We're looking for investment.
Yeah.
We work with the rest of the world in doing that. And when we succeed, like right now in my part of Mexico, in the region of El Bajío,
states of Querétaro, Guanajuato, San Luis Potosí. We're full employment right now. And we didn't take the jobs away from United States. It's working hard, which is what you need to do.
Yeah.
You don't enclose yourself in four walls. That's the worst mistake. That's why I say, wake up, America. Wake up, Americans. He's a false prophet. Yeah. Think about it. Analyze what he's proposing. Count the amount of lies he says in every speech, in every day. He lies and lies with figures. He accommodates data to his own needs. And I know you Americans, some of you need jobs, but that's not the way to go. It's not listening to this false prophet. There are ways of how you can have your job, even a better job. Maybe they make you a favor by getting you out of the manufacturing job, and then you can move into the knowledge job where you're going to get double the income that you're getting in that manufacturing job. You're going to work much less time, and where you're going to work with your brain, not with your hands.
Yeah, and I'm hearing this a lot from a lot of different economists and people in all kinds of different sectors, that people are going to have to re-educate, they're going to have to adjust. They might have to move because things are changing and they're going to get left behind if they don't change with it.
And do it quickly, because we moved from basic economy to manufacturing economy to knowledge economy, and now we're working to the no-job economy.
Yeah.
Because what are going to do the taxi drivers when we have this automobile that doesn't need a driver, the truck drivers, and many other things. The robots are everywhere now. So we're walking quickly to a no-job economy. So we all should be prepared to act accordingly.
Are you looking forward to the age of robots when Americans will have someone else to be angry at instead of Mexicans?
No, but look at one production line, automobile production line. More than half of the work that is doing on the production line is robots. Mm-hmm. It's robots.
Yeah.
It's not people.
Yeah.
And so that's where we're heading. And so Trump should have positive messages. He should tell people what the reality is ahead and what we can do. Yeah. United States has moved manufacturing jobs into knowledge. Now you have Silicon Valley, you have Austin and Texas, you have Boston and the whole technology area, medical instruments, medical technology, many, many jobs. But more so, this nation now is getting old on its average age on its population. Mm-hmm. And when you're old, you have to retire. And when you have to retire, you need a pension plan. And that pension plan can only be yield with young labor force that United States needs to import. But number two, the elderly that are listening to me on instead of this false prophet, you will need nursing. Who is going to nurse you when you cannot move, when you have to go to the hospital? Nurses are coming from Latin America and from Mexico and from everywhere. And finally, who is going to harvest the vegetables in California? Who is going to work on the construction industry? Who is going to be on the service economy, on the McDonald's and on the everything else? You need people to work. I would not listen to those lazy guys that say, Trump, give me a job. No, go and get your job.
Well,
this is the spirit of America. This is the spirit of the founding fathers.
Yeah, and Trump isn't going to go out there and pick those vegetables. Well, he said that after you said that you're not paying for the wall, he said that wall just got 20 feet higher or 10 feet
because
higher.
Because Fox could not jump it.
So what is your response to that? He says the wall just got higher.
Crazy.
You just provoked him.
You remember, literally he said, I'm going to build a wall just like the Chinese wall.
Yeah,
because
Better than the Chinese, because he's Donald Trump.
Ignorant again.
Yeah.
The Mongols, the Manchus, the enemies of China, crossed that border once and again and conquered China. That wall was no use. And they spent 400,000 people working to build that wall that was absolutely useless. So walls don't work. The Berlin Wall, built by the Russian Empire on the Cold War, didn't work.
Yeah.
Here is one real president not like Trump, a real president, President Reagan, coming to that wall and saying, Mr. Gorbachev, tear off that wall.
Yeah.
Let your people go out to freedom. This is exactly what I tell this guy. Maybe that wall, the one that Trump is proposing, will only be good for holding Mexicans within United States. Because he wants to put everybody on a box. And then where is going to be innovation? Trump doesn't know, for instance, that 80% of all Nobel Prizes are outside of United States. Mm-hmm. 70% of all patentes are outside of United States. Universities, knowledge, the world is great outside there. Don't limit yourself. Don't just see yourself as the ombligo. How do you say the ombligo of the world?
Yeah.
Crazy. Oh.
Yeah. What would you say like to him if you ran into him in the hallway today?
I don't know. What would I do? I don't know. I don't want to go across.
Would we have to hold you back? Would we have to restrain you?
Really, I love this nation. I'm part of it. Half of my blood is American. Yeah. That's why I think I have the authority, the moral authority, to speak about my nation, which is also United States, as well as Mexico. And that is stupid dividing, is that it's stupid building walls, is that it's stupid provoking a trade war between partners when we can do things different. He just has to open his mind and listen to others and get out of that obsession to be president. He's not prepared for that.
Yeah, and I don't think he's going to do that. I don't think he's going to change his mind or get any
I cross my fingers.
Soon.
I cross my fingers every day, and I pray God that we need in that chair a leader that has the thinking, the philosophy, the heart, the compassion like President Washington had, like Jefferson had.
Well, you're half American. Can't you run against him?
I would love
could you
to
come up here and
I
run?
Would love to if I could. No, but really, I mean, the chair, the seat of the president of the United States is too powerful.
Yeah.
It's not riding a horse, it's not running a business. Yeah. It's too powerful. You have to deal with problems, you have to deal with a lot of problems. But if you don't have a good dosis of compassion, of love, if you don't have a good piece of wisdom in your head, and if you don't have really commitment to serve, to be for others, and others are in Africa, and are in China, and are everywhere, this nation has to be a compassive nation. Yeah. That's what is happened all along with the United States. It's been the leader that has worked to have all of us a better world.
Yeah.
He cannot abandon that. If he abandons that responsibility, there's no future for United States. United States has to be everywhere, has to be sharing the problems, sharing the successes with all the rest of the nations. It's stupid to say I'm not gonna help NATO. You're not going to hate NATO. Yeah. And what's going to happen with the United States if you let violence grow around the world?
Yeah.
If you don't collaborate with all the nations to control violence and to control evil that is everywhere around the world. Yeah. So I'm sure all of what he's saying is not going to happen.
Hopefully none of it will.
Yeah,
well, President Fox, I appreciate your coming on the show, and I know that you have to go. But real quickly, would you like to tell us about Centro Fox and what you do there?
Okay. It's the first presidential library built outside of the United States. And that's one more of the good things that the nation has, its presidential libraries. There will never be a Trump presidential library, I'm sure.
I don't think there will be any books in it.
But so that's it. Now we're an academic place. We're a place of leadership. We work with these kids that I told you about. We have symphonic orchestras of poor kids from around our place. We work on creating jobs, on promoting the economy. And we have this huge event next October that we are running for the third time. And it's a blend of three sectors of the economy that are the powerful engines that move the Mexican economy. One is energy, and we're undergoing a profound energy reform that is creating huge amount of opportunities for investors. So excellent. I call upon anybody that is related to energy to come and participate on this revolution in Mexico. So it's energy, manufacturing, automobile, aerospace, and all the rest. And finally, technology. So we invite 1,500 top executives to come, among them Michael Milken. And as them, we have Deepak Chopra coming.
Really?
And we have many very relevant figures coming. So that's what we are having in next October at Centro Fox, great, State of Guanajuato, Rancho San Cristobal. There we have plenty of enchiladas, plenty of beans, plenty of tequila for everybody to come.
I remember last time I met you once several years back at the LA World Affairs Council when you spoke. And I remember you talking about enchiladas mole. We had to come down there for that. So
prepared by Martita.
Oh, by your wife. Oh,
and by the way.
Okay.
By the way, love has to be the main ingredient on politics and government
and food
and women leading, because we, the men, are very stubborn. We haven't been able to conduct this world to a better situation. And I think 21st century is the century of women, because they love, they care, because they can see the future much better than us, because they want to build a future for their kids. And so that's why I'm for Hillary.
Well, do you think your lovely wife might run for president one day?
Somebody tried to get it there, and unfortunately she didn't accept.
Okay, are you sure?
Martita.
Mrs. Fox.
Completely sure.
Okay.
We have a happy and loving life there in Guanajuato, in San Cristobal.
Yeah, it sounds like it. Is there a website for Centro Fox?
Yes, it is. www.centrofox.org.com.
O-R-G. Okay.
.com.
Excellent. Well, President Vicente Fox, thank you so much for taking time to talk to me.
Pleasure. And I'm ready to come back anytime you invite me.
Any final words for Trump?
or
have we said it all?
F.
Okay.
Gracias. Right.
Thank you very much. Thanks again to former Mexican President Vicente Fox for taking the time to sit down with me. In case you were wondering, that sporadic noise in the background was Mrs. Fox on her iPhone. I just didn't have the heart to ask her to turn it off. And both the Foxes were very gracious and generous with their time. You can find out more about his presidential library, the Centro Fox, at centrofox.org.mx. And you can follow Vicente Fox on Twitter at Vicente Fox K. That's V-I-C-E-N-T-E, Fox, F-O-X-Q-U-E. Be sure to subscribe to Kick-Ass Politics on iTunes and leave us a review while you're there. And if you really want to help out, then donate to our GoFundMe campaign at gofundme.com/kickasspolitics. Or click on the donate button on our website at kickasspolitics.com. Follow us on Twitter at KAPolitics, or visit Kickass Politics on Facebook. And while you're there, recommend Kickass Politics to your friends on your social media. And as always, I welcome your comments, questions, and suggestions at comments@kickasspolitics.com. But for now, I'm Ben Mathis, and thanks for listening to Kick-Ass Politics. Kick-Ass Politics is a trademark of Mathis Entertainment, Inc.